The worst fears of wildfire came true in Redding last summer. The Carr Fire destroyed nearly 300 homes within city limits, even more outside of town. And another more recent fire had some of the same people who prepared to evacuate in July getting ready to go again. Fire crews got the Masonic Fire under control at under 100 acres. But nobody wants to see another fire roar through town. Now the city council is exploring the idea of a fire fuels management district. Let's talk about what that is. Barry Tippin is the Redding city manager and our guest on The Exchange. Thanks for joining us today.
Sure, Jeff. No problem.
Just a general overview. It's been a rough few months, obviously. Is city government in Redding more or less running normally?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. I can imagine a number of ideas for preventing something like the Carr Fire have arisen since the summer, including a fire fuels management district. Have a bunch of ideas come to the fore?
Yeah, I think there's many ideas that have been raised, not only internally with staff, but also the community with ideas. I think things like the fire fuels management is stood up as one of the most tangible things that we can do to control the environment around us.
Did the Masonic Fire just further underscore the need? I can imagine a lot of these moves are already underway, though.
Yeah, what's interesting is the Masonic Fire itself was not an unusual event in the city limits. We've had those, and we've been able to control those. But on the heels of the Carr Fire, certainly it has heightened everybody's senses.
So let's elaborate on the ideas behind a fire fuels management district and the components of it all. First of all, where did the idea come from in the first place?
Well, so the city uses landscape maintenance districts throughout the city, which is very common for cities. That's new subdivisions. They put in entry features. They put in medians that are vegetated. And the residents of that subdivision pay into this maintenance district off their property taxes. That money's collected and used to maintain the entrance ways and everything else. So that type of work is not uncommon. In some subdivisions on the exterior of the cities, it also includes a fire fuels management component. So the way this started was that one of the councilors, Mayor Pro Tem Winter, called me and asked about her subdivision and whether they could actually, as a subdivision, enact their own district to control fire fuels in and around her subdivision. And I took that and sort of said, certainly you could, but why not do more than that? Why not try to unite the entire city and accomplish in a more efficient and effective manner what we're all trying to do individually?
So first of all, I mean, you mentioned these landscape management districts. Are there many around the city of Redding?
Yeah, I'll get the number wrong, but it's more than 40, less than 50 throughout the city right now.
So dozens anyway. All right. So
yes,
this is obviously not an unknown thing by all means. So
correct.
So rather than do a landscape management district for fire fuels reduction here, there, everywhere, you're talking about the entire city?
Yeah, we have roughly about 20% of our city is open space. And so it does make some sense that, wherever you are in the city, you have some green ways around you, whether it's creek corridors or just open space and 20% slopes and that sort of thing. So the idea being is that if we collectively come together, we can all, with more efficiency and less cost to individuals, do a better job at controlling fire fuels.
So, but this would have to be a district separate from the city. This is not an assessment the city itself could put on?
Yeah, it actually is an assessment that the city puts on. And, when you think of district, obviously, I think you're referring to a fire district or a parks and rec district, which have their own governing boards. This is a district in terms of an assessment that actually gets placed on city properties around all private and public properties. But that the assessment is placed on by the city council and the money is collected by the city government and executing contracts to actually accomplish the work.
So how much money could potentially be raised with a fire fuels management district in Redding?
Yeah, we haven't done any really specific analysis because we're right now identifying the acreage. We're doing what's called an engineer's report, which is required by state law. And determining the acreage and the work to be done. But roughly, we have about 44,000 properties. And so, if you say on average there's $100 per property, then that's $4.4 million. So what I tell people, somewhere between $2.5 and $5 million is probably not an unreasonable sum that could be collected for specific fire fuels management.
All right. And let me understand again, this is just on city property, on city and private property too?
City and private property. Mm-hmm. It would be used to, handle any open space. We have a lot of private property that is in an open space area for whatever reason, whether it's a 20% slope, whether there's a subdivision that was created and portions of the lots are in open spaces because of how the approvals came on the subdivision. There's a lot of different reasons why, but it would cover both city-owned, state-owned, federal-owned, and privately owned land.
We are talking to Barry Tippin, the city manager in Reading, about the idea of a fire fuels management district here on the Jefferson Exchange. It's a conversation you're welcome to join. 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. And we have a call from Derek in Talent. Welcome to the Exchange.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Real quick, the Rogue Valley restoration proposal from folks like the Nature Conservancy. I think it's really a great proposal, although their annual estimates for costs only take the process through thinning, piling, and burning, and they leave out broadcast burning, which is astonishing to me. And having just been in Reading and really looked at that, what I would call a chaparral landscape, I mean, I think I saw eucalyptus and maybe tan oak and all the manzanita. I guess I just wonder if there's been discussion about making sure that you not only thin where it's appropriate, but also just don't forget to include fire as part of like living with fire, because simply thinning, in my opinion, and piling and burning is just not enough. We're going to have to adapt. And I'd like any feedback here.
Okay, I think we understood most of that, Derek. The phone sounded like I was going through a tunnel a couple of times there, but I think we got all of it. The idea that you need to not just thin and pile, but also do some burning as well. Barry Tippin, how does that show up on the priority list?
Yeah, that wouldn't be necessarily an item that is excluded from a fire fuels management perspective. I mean, as we go through this engineer's report, we're going to bring in wildland fire experts and looking at our areas. Most of our areas are likely not big enough that you would do a prescribed burn. But I think the other component that is important that wouldn't be a part of this fire fuels management district, but we are also doing, is a reforestation efforts, not only for the burned areas, but if you cast forward areas where we clean out and we're able to thin all the non-natives and get rid of bulk of the heavy fire fuels, and we begin to reforest as well with more native trees and try to bring back the more natural landscape as opposed to some of the brush and whatnot that has come in, I think you can accomplish some great things, not only in terms of making it fire resistant, but also enhancing the environment, enhancing the natural ecosystem for the wildlife and others.
Is there the potential, though, that even some scientists could disagree on getting the land back to what it was, given the fact that it does seem to be hotter and drier now?
Yeah, certainly. And though I think most experts would agree that the reforestation to a tree canopy, et cetera, is definitely desired. And while it is getting hotter, we're still experiencing, between, 25 and 35 inches of rain per year. And so if you get trees that are native to the area and it can withstand a hot summer, they likely can still flourish.
We were talking about the ballpark figure so far that potentially an assessment on property taxes for a fire fuels management district in Reading could bring in $2.5 to $5 million. So can we assume that this involves hiring more staff and bringing in some equipment and things like that?
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, certainly, I think, if you look at the bare minimum staffing, it probably requires a full-time staff to actually administer such a district. But mm-hmm. You could accomplish all the work through private contractors. You could accomplish it through ideas like creating a youth program, maybe working with the Conservation Corps that is exclusive to Shasta Reading youth to work in those areas. You could also see it maybe moving down into a fire department staffing that are able to go out and do all the fire fuels clearing, but also perhaps are trained and able to respond to fire should they occur while they're doing the work or within the district. So I think there's a lot of options that we will be discussing with the community.
So at this point, the effort so far involves the council voting to spend $75,000 on the engineer's report you just mentioned to check out acreage and work to be done?
Yes, as well as community input, dialogue, and bringing all that back to the council, hopefully in January timeframe, that will not only have the mechanics laid down as far as the engineer's report, the cost, and what the cost per property would be, but also having community dialogue and community input, which I think is critical to this effort.
Yeah, when you're going to talk property taxes, you probably need to get a few people involved. We'll talk about
that's
that
right.
in just a moment. We're talking to Barry Tippin, who is the city manager in Reading, about a fire fuels management district. Here's a call from Pam and Dexter. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. Well, I'm really interested in a product called Aircrete. It's basically like concrete, but it has air bubbles in it for building materials. And it's fire resistant, bug resistant, and as we face hotter and drier summers where there's going to be more fires and we need to save our forests for the carbon that they sequester, I'm wondering if anybody's considering future building materials using Aircrete or concrete, which is basically the Aircrete without the air bubbles. And it's actually quite less expensive than building with wood. And I'll listen on the air. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call, Pam. Appreciate that. So I'm guessing there are efforts other than just a fire fuels manager district to think of a number of different ways you can address the potential for a wildfire in Reading.
Yeah. In fact, we've applied for a grant recently that we hope to find out in November where individuals come in and offer a community dialogue about what we want to do in the future to enhance our resilience to wildfire. And that ranges everything from building materials to setbacks to secondary access issues. There's a lot of different items that we can discuss and decide whether we want to as a community become more stringent on those items, less stringent, how we want to apply future planning to improve our resilience to wildfire. And so that hopefully we'll get that grant and that work will start in January as well.
So when I think about the fire fuels management district and discussions of building materials and a lot of all this together, I mean, even the most painstaking efforts would seem to be not potentially up to something like a fire tornado like the car fire brought to town.
I think that's very true. I think the point that we would be bringing forward is first and foremost that the Masonic fire really demonstrates that we have fires internal to the city on an annual basis. And so this work would do a good job of helping prevent those fires from striking up and becoming bigger. We've been very fortunate in that our firefighting team, including Cal Fire, has been able to knock those down quickly, but you could foresee a time when that wouldn't happen. Additionally, there's, various experts may disagree, but I think that if we had a system like this in place on a future fire, that we would fare better than. So I agree with you that I don't think it would stop something like the car fire, but perhaps we could minimize some of the damage that occurred. For instance, there's, as the embers carry, they catch wood fences on fire, wood fences burn, connect to the house, get into the eaves, start a house on fire. To your last caller's perspective, if that house was concrete or if within 20 feet of the house that fencing had to be masonry or vinyl, would that same house have caught fire? And those are the types of questions that I think have to come through this community planning effort.
Yeah, you really have to think about a lot of little things like that, though. Things
yeah.
that doesn't cross the mind of the homeowner. My roof is great. Well, great. Where's your fence? Over there. What is it made of? It's made of wood. Whoops.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. So we've been talking about just a ballpark figure, maybe bringing in $2.5 to $5 million in taxes should this fire fuels management district be created. When you divide it up by landowners, what might the individual assessment be over the course of a year?
Well, the requirement, so that number I used is if you just assume about $100 per property, but mm-hmm. but as you look at one of these districts, it's required that the homeowner pay commensurate to the benefit received. And so if you lived on the exterior of the city on a big open space canyon, your risk is higher. So therefore, your fee would be higher. If you live in a small home in the center of town, your risk is less, and so that amount is less. And that's one of the things that the engineer's report has to determine, is what is the levels of risk and the benefits received by property, and determining what the appropriate fee would be.
So would there be risk zones or something like that? Or?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. One would be risk zones using technology to determine density of brush. Another is, we have hazard maps that have been produced by the state of California, which would be a good start as well. So there's a lot of different ways you could look at it. And one of the things that we expect our hired engineer to do is help us with that determination.
Would there be any options for a landowner to reduce the bill, like reducing fire fuels on their own land or on adjacent public property or vacant property?
I think the way we're looking at this is that homeowners will have the responsibility of making sure that their improved lot has proper fire fuels management in place. And then outside of that is where this district would take over. And so obviously we would have to have a right of entry from each private property owner to actually do the work. If they decided they didn't want to do it or didn't have the city do it, then they would do it themselves. And we'd have to also increase our code enforcement activities to make sure that everybody is conforming to the rules.
But to
answer your question directly, no. I mean, when the district gets put in play, that is what the cost of the district is, and that is the property valuation and what they pay.
All right. Your assessment is your assessment. Your zone is your zone. Got it. Okay. So could there potentially, though, be some savings on insurance premiums if the district is created?
So I contacted a few insurance agents and discussed that with them, and they said while the individual rate wouldn't likely be affected because each insurance company does their premium assessments a little differently, but they all have whatever algorithm they use. But what could happen is that insurance companies who had chosen not to insure in Redding or in certain areas of Redding may decide to enter back into the market. And if that occurs, then that would increase competition and the availability of insurance and choice for homeowners. And so that could possibly happen, as well as making sure our ISO rating remains as low as it can be.
All right. So you mentioned the engineer's report should be back by January. Council to consider it then. Other steps beyond that. Is time of the essence, Barry Tippin? I mean, not just to reduce the danger, but while memories of the fires last summer are still fresh?
Yeah, I think there's two components to that. Number one is that we'd like to get this work for, obviously, where the car fire came, there's been a lot of fire fuels management already. We'd like to make sure that that doesn't grow back. We'd also, because of the way the state laws work, we have to have this in place by July 1st in order to get it enrolled and have the assessment next January. Thirdly, if this passes and the community wants to go in this direction, I would personally like to request that the council actually front some money so we could actually do some work late next spring.
All right, so really getting on the stick before next fire season. Barry Tippin is the city manager in Redding, and we've been talking about the possibility of a fire fuels management district being created there. And stay tuned. It'll happen, if it happens, early next year. Thanks for joining us, Barry. Really appreciate it.
Sure thing. Appreciate it.